RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! It is Friday, and our Wednesday show, Frank, had such an impact on people.
People, I'm happy.
Oh my gosh, so many emails, so many people so happy to hear some of the things that Dr. McCullough was talking about. And crazy, I don't know if you saw what happened yesterday in Florida with Governor DeSantis. Did you see?
No, why?
So one of the things that Dr. McCullough focused on was the antibodies, the Regeneron. Right. So yesterday, Ron DeSantis had a press conference where he talks about the fact that they are now making this basically treatment protocol in Florida for people with COVID.
Wow.
For everybody. Now, I have this press conference, and I want to play a good bit of it because he says some really interesting stuff in here. And I just want to say God bless Ron DeSantis for taking this proactive approach at treating COVID-19. He's the first governor ever to do this.
This is why he's so important right now. And I hate anybody's suggestion that he should run for office federally. This is so important to have a state making this contrast against everybody else. It needs to happen that way.
It's huge. So I have a couple of clips to play. Here, I put it on 1.5 so that we can get through it a little faster. I think people can live with the 1.5. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
What we're going to do is, so we have this here. This is helping relieve some of the pressure because I know they're doing a lot in these health systems. So this is supplementing that and we'll expand as needed. And really, it's just a matter of you can do it through IV or you can do it subcutaneously. If you do it subcutaneously, it's easier to do. So you can probably get more people through if you have the appropriate setup. So we're going to be expanding as much as we can. And we may use other footprints in Jacksonville. Then we're also looking beyond throughout the state of Florida. There's websites. HHS has a website, for example, about where you can get monoclonals. The problem is if you go on it, some of these places, some of them have it, but they just aren't administering it, and others don't necessarily have it. So what we're looking at is, are there gaps in certain parts of Florida where we can bring some of these mobile units and then be able to offer this to folks who get infected in early treatment? And I think this is going to be something that has just got to become part of the standard of care as you go forward. This is going to be with us for a long time. I mean, I hear these politicians say they're going to conquer it and end it. It's not going to be eradicated, as we've seen. You know, you have different iterations. The vaccines obviously are helping people avoid severe outcomes, but you're going to continue to have this, go in the different patterns. So understand if you're in those risk groups that this is really something that you need to be thinking about if you end up with a positive test. So we're going to be doing that. We're also going to be doing strike teams to be able to bring it into nursing homes if you have some nursing home infections. And we've seen that nursing home residents were some of the first people to be vaccinated. And I think you saw a huge decline in cases in nursing home residents. But you are seeing, more of that now in different places. And so if you do have somebody test positive, obviously you can help that resident. You can also use it as prophylaxis. So if there's 6 other nursing home residents, maybe none of them have tested positive yet, you can go in and offer the Regeneron to them. And that's proven to help them avoid infection entirely if you're able to get it early enough. And so we'll be using it for that as well. So really focusing on providing early treatment.
It's wonderful to hear somebody look at the tools that are available and use them in common sense ways.
What would have happened if they had this in they used it in New York?
I wonder. But did you see what AP News put out there? It was shared by Disclosed TV. The Biden White House, or at least the brain trust that is working this senile puppet, is actually starting to think about this. Listen to this. The Biden administration has promised to share frameworks for verification systems, but ultimately left all that to the private sector, verification of who's gotten their shots. And local government, in part because of political sensitivities, not American freedoms, American liberal norms and civil liberties, political sensitivities.
Oh,
he goes on. It's going to make your hair stand up. Still, while more severe measures, such as mandating vaccines for interstate travel.
What?
or changing how the federal government reimburses treatment for those who are unvaccinated and become ill with COVID-19.
So they're going to punish people?
Yeah. So you know how if you die from COVID-19, you can get in touch with FEMA and they'll send you like $10,000 for the funeral. You know about that?
Oh, gosh.
And of course, anytime that there is a COVID diagnosis in a hospital, the hospital gets like $53,000. I guess there's not going to be the same kind of reimbursement for those who didn't take their filthy Eucharist.
Yeah, which means that. All right.
Yeah. Well, so behind the scenes, they're actually mulling over mandates for interstate travel. So to be able to leave your home state to cross into another state to do whatever, to just be a person. But they have been discussed, but the administration is worried that they might be too polarizing for the moment.
For the moment.
For the moment. That is, you want to talk about contrast and horror show. That is horrific.
Jesus. I don't even
horrific
know what
to read.
To say about that. I'm just going to go back to the good news. Here we go.
Treatment for the most vulnerable to keep them out of the hospital and ultimately to save lives is what we're going to do. Remember, the sooner you do this, the greater the chances of success that you have. There have been a lot of people that have been helped by this, but I really believe that had more people known about this, I think absolutely some of those folks would not have ended up needing to get admitted to the hospital. So I want everybody to know that this is an important option, that this is an important way to be able to protect yourself in the event that you are infected. And we're going to be doing this in other parts of the state and obviously working with our long-term care residents who we've been working with from the beginning to make sure that they're provided the type of protection that we can. So I want to thank Mayor Curry for
now,
working with us.
Now, here's another doctor I want you to listen to.
Who it is?
It is, he'll tell you who he is. I'm just trying to scroll to the right time. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Ken Shepke. I'm the Chief Medical Officer for the Florida Division of Emergency Management. I'm board certified in emergency medicine and EMS. And so I want to thank the governor for highlighting this very important therapeutic advancement. Unfortunately, I don't think the word's quite been out there enough for this very effective treatment. It's great for folks who are vaccinated but at high risk for progression of disease. It's great for folks that are unvaccinated who get this disease. And it's great for folks who they're unvaccinated, they're not ill, but they've come in contact with a household contact of somebody who's gotten COVID. So as the governor reported, folks who are at high risk for progression to severe disease or death from COVID-19, this therapy can reduce your risk of hospitalization and death by 70%.
70%. And what did he just say, that like literally you can get this if your like dad or sister or something came down with COVID and then you're in the house with them and then it'll stop you from getting COVID?
Yeah. Can you imagine that? It'll actually prevent.
Is that what
it can prevent infection.
And there's no real side effects to it.
Which is a true prophylaxis.
I'm sorry. I almost feel like we're being the Twilight Zone here. Hold on.
And that unvaccinated household contact of those folks can reduce their risk of developing COVID-19 by over 80%.
Whoa.
So this is clearly one of the better therapeutics that we have out there. And I'm really appreciative to you, Governor, for getting the word out there, because I think it's going to be very helpful for the state of Florida. Thank you. Great.
Okay. And now this is where it gets super interesting for me. Okay. Me and my little brain. And he says this several times throughout his interview. He says this several times, but this is the first here.
Is resolved within sometimes 24, 48 hours. I mean, that's a really, really big deal. And I think that part of the reason it isn't as well known is because this was given emergency use authorization about the same time that the Pfizer and the Moderna were under EUA approved. So obviously people were looking at the vaccines as a major thing, and rightfully so. And so I think that this was something that even though the hospitals all embraced it, we worked with them early on and said, do you need us to do anything? They're like, no, we have it. And most of them have been doing well here in Northeast Florida. I was at Tampa General. They do a lot. We think the supplementing them now will be helpful. But it was there. But I think it was not something that was really publicized. I don't know. I mean, maybe people thought that if you tell them there's a treatment, then they wouldn't necessarily get vaccinated. I don't think it's an either or. I think we know in a situation, you know, we have people in society that are not vaccinated. We also have people that are vaccinated who are still testing positive. And so either way, you know, if you get in that situation, particularly in these high risk categories, this should be your stop. This is what you should be asking your doctor.
So if we tell people this therapy is available, they won't get the shot. That's exactly what he said. And that's what he said three more times.
And I think that is all you need to know. Because if people are getting this therapy, then there is no reason for the brain trust behind the senile puppet in the White House to talk about ways that they can actually shut people into their home states, into their homes, and take away all of their ability to go out and grocery shop. It's a way out, and they don't want us out.
Nope.
They don't want us out.
And now,
they want to
you
keep
know,
us in.
They yell at Florida. Florida's so unvaccinated. The unwashed unvaccinated. They have one of the highest rates in the country of vaccination. They do. And so now I know why the Biden administration's coming after Florida. It has nothing to do with their vaccination status. It has to do with the governor who's giving the huge middle finger to the rest of the idiots out there and saying we're going to treat our people with things that will cure them and heal them.
What I don't understand is why President Trump was not on this Regeneron stuff.
Well, because when he got it in the hospital, it was not under emergency use authorization. It was the experimental phase. It didn't move into emergency use until after he was gone. That's why. He actually addressed that in the press conference. So God bless you, Ron DeSantis. I wish this happened 8 months ago, but God bless you. And if there's any state that I'd want to be in right now with COVID, it would be Florida. You can just go to your doctor and say, I'd like some Regeneron, please. And they'll be like, okay, great. Here it is. They'll have roving vans. If your mom or dad is in an adult care facility or a nursing home and someone gets COVID, they're just going to give them to them. Make the chances of them contracting it at all 80% less than if they didn't have it. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
So
there you have it.
Well,
I don't know what else there could be said about that. It's in the same pocket as in the beginning when people were mulling through all of the already available medications that could be of use in the response. And governors were just banning them, banning the even conversation of them. So you can always just tell how this has been orchestrated from the beginning. Thankfully, he's willing to just break away from that herd and be a shining light.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell, I'm just reading through here and seeing what the possible side effects are. You could have an allergic reaction.
Now, let's see if, okay, so then they're promoting it and they are making it more and more they're implanting it and bringing it to the fore of the public consciousness down there in Florida. And of course, that media is not constrained to Florida. Here we are talking about it. You're in the Carolinas. I'm in New York. It's out there for everybody to know. If somebody starts coming down with these symptoms, some flu-like symptoms, and it's starting to get a little bit more unmanageable, and they get to a hospital because they're having trouble breathing or something, and they are diagnosed with whatever, COVID, can they say, okay, here I am in Wyoming and I want Regeneron? No, well, I refuse everything but Regeneron. Is it going to be there sitting in this Wyoming medical hospital, or is it, you know, how available is it?
I don't know. I think it's widely available from what Dr. McCullough said, that all the hospitals have it and it's just sitting there gathering dust basically because they're not using it. And I can tell you, in the case of my friend, we asked for it and they refused to give it because they say that the CDC says it's contraindicated for people who are hospitalized with COVID. It's only for early treatment.
But that's not what Dr. McCullough was saying.
Well, he did. He said the earlier you get it, the better.
Right. But he also is saying that the longer you wait, if you're in a really high risk group and you've got a lot of problems already, if this thing progresses, then nothing is really going to help that much.
Yeah.
So
you can give it a shot. I mean, you can give it a shot.
Yeah,
at that point, if you're going to die, you can give anything a shot, and you should.
Might as well give that a shot than have your lungs exploded by a ventilator.
Yep.
The hell's the point of, I mean.
Yep.
So there's the lying, then the manipulation just by omission once again by the CDC. It's only for, you know, it doesn't work at this phase. Well, what does work at this phase?
No.
Going on a ventilator?
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. So there's that. And, you know, I did a video, Frank, because it pissed me off beyond belief. There was a New York Times article that came out and it said, hold on. The title of the article was what to know about breakthrough infections in the Delta variant. They say in here, this is the thing that pissed me off. Breakthrough infections seem to be vanishingly rare when previous versions of the coronavirus dominated in the United States, but recent outbreaks suggest that the numbers may be higher with the arrival of the Delta variant. And then it goes on to say, still, most vaccinated people with the breakthrough infection are likely to have mild symptoms. And listen to this. And they may even benefit in the long run. Every exposure to the virus is an opportunity for the immune system to strengthen its defenses against variants that may emerge in the future. booster shots and mild natural infections can both increase the immunity initially gained from the vaccines.
But most of the infections have been mild anyway. I mean, there are people in high risk groups that have really had their asses kicked and some killed. But how many? What are the statistics? What was this? The statistics are like unbelievable when it comes to those who are even just asymptomatic altogether, where people didn't even know that they had this thing because it felt like a common cold. So I can't, it really just, oh man.
It's the next sentence that really, the next subheading that really got me pissed. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is a header for a topic. The vaccines were designed to prevent severe illness, not infection.
Listen. Oh.
I brought up all the CDC, MedStar reporting, the press releases, everyone saying this will stop you from getting COVID. Everybody can go back to normal. This will prevent disease. This is like the biggest moving of the goalposts I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yep. If you bring that up, then you're a science denier. But it has nothing to do with science. It has. Do you have common sense? And have you been watching these people say one thing, change their minds, reposition themselves, and declare themselves the winner no matter what? It's the old saying about playing chess with a pigeon.
What is that saying? I've never heard it before.
You play chess with a pigeon. You never play chess with a pigeon because they knock all the pieces over, they shit all over the board, and they strut around as if they won no matter what.
Ah, I see. Yeah, well, I just couldn't believe they said that. You know, how many people, let's just ask this rhetorical question. How many people would have gotten vaccinated if that header was on the front of the vaccine information packet and Regeneron was widely available across the country?
Not as many has gone out and got the vaccination.
That's what I'm saying. How many people would have done it? How many people would have gotten vaccinated if those things were known?
Not nearly as many.
Yep.
Not nearly as many. But then again, it's all about which authoritative sources have backed which product.
Freaking crazy.
The only people now of a claim who have put their reputations behind Regeneron is Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis.
And Peter McCullough.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about
politically
media. Yeah. Politically, big media presence, all that. I mean, there are medical professionals that have been talking about real, safe, effective, longstanding, well-known drugs, medications that could help prevent and also treat the stuff from the beginning. And they've just been soundly ignored because, I don't know, they don't have that much gravitas as a Donald Trump or polarizing figures, whatever. And of course, whatever they take the side of, everybody else has to be on the opposite side of it.
Yep.
So
no matter what it is.
So you think about what kind of a predicament that sets up for people. That if you've been trained to just hate and reject across the board anything that comes from one particular person, then you will sometimes choose your own demise without even knowing.
I'm just Googling Regeneron. Oh, they have a Twitter account. They put something up an hour ago. Here we go. Hold on. There's a whole thread about it. They say, "Hi, we're back to share a few more facts about Regeneron and our work to develop a monoclonal antibody treatment for COVID. Regeneron is the name of our company. We make many different medicines for many serious diseases and have been around for 30 plus years. We are now a group of over 10,000 people, many of us scientists, MDs, and or engineers. Our investigational antibody cocktail has been extensively tested in clinical trials and received emergency use authorization from the FDA. This is the same designation given to the vaccines currently available in the U.S. On that note, get vaccinated, folks, and thank you to the amazing scientists at Pfizer, Biotech, Moderna, and J&J. We have partnered with the HHS, blah, 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 a bunch of different organizations to develop, study, and supply our investigational antibody therapy. The U.S. government has made our investigational antibody therapy free to patients. We are incredibly proud of our team and the antibodies we have developed for COVID-19, Ebola, atopic dermatitis, cancer, and many other serious diseases. We work hard every day to turn science into life-changing medicines. After all the hard work, the most important message we want to share is to please get vaccinated. But if you get sick and qualify under the emergency authorization, then get treated. Find sites here. Thanks for reading and taking a minute to learn more about Regeneron. Here are a few other recent accomplishments besides our COVID-19 work that we are proud of. New actionable genetic discoveries and advancement of genetics medicine tools like CRISPR. Positive clinical data on our investigational medicines for chronic spontaneous urticaria, advanced non-small cell lung cancer, and advanced melanoma. Okay. Well, they seem to be... What? I mean, I don't know anything. I have to read more into this. They have a therapeutics distribution map, and it is everywhere all over the country. You can actually use this tool to search for it. I'm going to search for my zip code and see where I could get this if I were sick. Yep, great. There we go, right there at the hospital, 2 minutes from my house.
Okay. Maybe put that link in the description of the episode.
Yes. Yes, I will. Absolutely. Make sure you get vaccinated, though, okay?
Yeah. Don't forget that.
Don't want to make Pfizer pissed off. I don't know if Pfizer owns them or who does, but let me see. Who owns Regeneron? Nope, they don't. It is two billionaires, Leonard Schleifer and George Yancopoulos.
So that is a Jew and a Greek.
Yeah, and it says here, President, this is an old article because, of course, they were looking to tar and feather them when Donald Trump took it. President Trump took a high dose of the experimental antibody cocktail that Regeneron is developing to treat his case of COVID-19. Even before he took the drug, the president was friendly with Schleifer. Can't be good then.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yancopoulos told the New York Times the president's request to take the antibody cocktail left him, quote, conflicted.
Oh, no. You know, since we're talking about, oh my gosh, there's a link that Donald Trump once shook this man's hand. He must be a Nazi.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, there is, who was I listening to? It was that freak, Dan Crenshaw.
Oh yeah, he's taking a lot of heat, that little bastard.
To hell with him. But I was listening to him talk about the election and how you just got to let it go and nothing happened and all that stuff. It made me think about the Time magazine article again. There's a reason why, you know, what you just said made me think about this. I would really, really love for somebody to take the Time magazine article and to switch out every liberal think tank, every intelligentsia circle, every media personality outlet, every one longtime government staffer for one president or another, every name and every group, everything that is in there that the Time magazine article talks about fortifying the election, and switch it out in just very meticulous way with people that have had friendly relationships with Donald Trump or are just on the opposite side of the political spectrum, anything that is linked to, I don't know, everybody goes nuts over the Koch brothers and shit like that. I would love for every person, every entity mentioned in that to be swapped out and talk. And I would love to gauge how irate these people and the deniers on both sides of this uniparty would be if you can read that out loud and how it would sound. I would love to hear that.
Do it.
For everybody who says, I don't know, it would take some time.
I know.
But, you know, it just, when you talk about, oh, well, he's friend with Trump, or, oh, they once wore a MAGA hat, or, oh, they once retweeted this and that. If that is enough to throw out the consideration of a drug or some kind of an antibody therapy, that is so much less of a risk. Yeah, maybe there's an allergy in there, but so much less of a genetic risk just because somebody was was friendly with Trump. Holy hell. What would the reaction be?
That guy brushed shoulders with Trump in an elevator one time. We saw it.
I know. Can you imagine if if they had the exact opposite happen to them. Read through that Time magazine article. Imagine Donald Trump won re-election and they read a Time magazine article that was boasting about how all of these right-wing groups fortified the election.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just thinking about what it would look like to read that. Like, it would have been like Russiagate on steroids.
Oh my gosh. Somebody's got to do meticulously swap out all of those entities for Steve Bannon related groups. And I mean, it has to be done.
Yeah,
because then everybody who says let go, let go, it's over.
Oh my God.
Anybody who says that will look even more like an asshole.
That's a really good idea. I might put one of our journalists on that project.
Do it.
I might do it. And then at the end,
you honestly don't have to take anything. You can just
rewrite the same thing with different names in it.
Yeah, you can even make it a little bit shorter. You know, take away some of the fluff or whatever, and just get down to the nitty gritty. And swap out all of the agents and all the operatives and all the think tanks. Just swap them all out.
Oh goodness!
That would be a fun. That would be a fun Friday morning episode to read that out loud.
Yeah.
Just to have a hypothetical fun Friday morning.
Well, I mean, if you think about it. If you think about it, it's almost the same thing as what's going on right now with Hunter Biden. Can you imagine if there was a tape of Don Jr. high on crack saying that the Russians had compromising video of him from
a third laptop?
It can't be real. It just
a third laptop. This guy. He keeps losing and every last one of them has information on it that outlines just how much of a criminal family he belongs to.
You know, I wonder if the reason that all this is coming out is because the Bidens know that Hunter Biden's reputation is so tarnished already and nothing has happened that they're saying, you know what, screw you and your blackmail, just release it. Because nobody's holding him accountable anyway. Like if anyone was,
it'd be one thing if he was an isolated incident. Like he was just a complete degenerate that is gallivanting around the world using his last name as leverage. But he can't even do that unless there's actually something that he can do with his last name. And his father was giving him that leverage. You know, when he talks about what was it that audio tape that we were listening to him. Talking to one of his partners, freaking out because one of his other partners has been missing for weeks, and he admits that he's done deals with a Chinese spy chief, and you hear that coming out of his mouth in audio, and it's like you think a Chinese spy chief, these people are actually even going to work with him unless there is any inroads with the former or current at that time vice president. No, he's just a crackhead. You can't trust a drug addict. But if his father is actually getting a kick out of it, then I guess you can entertain it a little bit. I mean, obviously, that would actually be more of an advantage than everything. If you have a crack-addled person with a very powerful father who is willing to enable him on a world stage in conducting illicit international business, it's actually better for the person in China, the spy chief in China who's taking up the deal, because you already have such an easily compromised person that you're working with. Not only are you going to get whatever the hell is in it for you in the deal, but you're going to be able to have access to God knows how much blackmail. And obviously, this is a person that can't say no to any kind of advice. You can create blackmail on a whim.
Yeah, just get him alone in a room with some hookers and some drugs, and he's done.
Jeez, I mean, and the fact that we've had several rounds of these revelations, and it started weeks and weeks before the election, and nothing.
Just imagine if it were Junior. Just imagine, or Eric, or anyone, their sixth cousin removed on their stepdad's side. I mean,
hey, look at the reaction with the Veselnitskaya situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look at how they latched onto that, like those little parasite fish that latch onto a shark. They latched onto that and sucked away all the blood from that stone because they had nothing else. Can you imagine if they had 3 laptops stolen and all this video and all of this audio? They've got this guy. They would have Don Jr. bare ass naked in a bed with a hooker talking about Russians and holy shit. They've got tapes like this. Oh, there's more porn. We had a Pornhub account.
Oh, gosh. I know. It just makes me so sad. It really does. It makes me sad. It's horrible. The whole thing is just, I mean, they had so little, they had to go after him for hunting. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, I in a strange way, I still have a lot of sympathy for Hunter Biden because
he's just a cog.
It really is. And he's a result of a terrible, obviously terrible personal situation there. And a lot of people live like this, to be honest.
Yep.
There's a lot of horribly addicted people to everything, to sex, drugs, that they just don't have control of their lives. It's just that most of those people don't have the resources that Hunter Biden has. And though many addicts have enablers in their life, nobody has enablers like this guy.
It's.
And we pay for it.
We do.
Usually the addict pays for it and their family.
Yeah, but the American people writ large are paying for it right now. So
exactly.
Do you want to talk a little bit about this cyber symposium? It's kind of a dangerous topic to wade into right now from what I'm seeing, but you know.
Why is it dangerous?
Well, I mean, I just see if like anybody shares an opinion that is not appreciated by some, it turns into what I've seen happen a lot where people just get attacked. Have you seen this? I've been watching it. I haven't said a word about it, to be honest.
I don't know what's going on. I gave my opinions, some opinions on it on Wednesday.
So let's just talk about the facts as I know them to be, because there are very little facts. And that's the way I want to base my opinions. I want to start by saying, and this isn't like a but statement, Mike Lindell is the most amazing, genuine, caring, loving guy I have ever seen in my entire life. I've never met like Mike Lindell. I've never spoken to Mike Lindell. All I'm basing that on is my, you know, me seeing how genuine he is. He's a genuine guy. Do you agree or do you have a different opinion?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. His heart is second to none.
Yep.
He has put so much spirit and so much of his personal wealth into this. And I can I appreciate everything.
Yeah,
I really do. And it, like I said, it isn't a but statement. I have my personal observations. I'll let you go first, though.
Yeah, sure. So I'm not even going to make really an opinion about anything yet because I don't think we can. There are positives that came out of it and there are negatives that came out of it. And I think it's far from over, in my opinion. The promise initially was that Mike Lindell was going to release to cyber experts that came to his conference the PCAPs or the packet captures that were supposedly or allegedly taken the night of the election that proved election fraud happened in basically every state in the union using the Dominion machines. From what I gather and from what I've read, and I watched a very large percentage of this, those packet captures were not produced. Or a very small percentage of them were. So some of the teams that went there have like made anecdotal comments about how they weren't even really able to read anything or look at anything or analyze anything because it wasn't made available. In my opinion, if, you know, given this is an opinion, Mike Lindell went out on media all over the world and talked about these PCAPs for months. And I don't know what happened. There was some statement read that they were tampered with somehow and that's why they weren't going to release them, and that the team that was working there had caught the fact that they were tampered with, and so they didn't want to release those things to other people who would then be victims of the tampering. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then they had another instance of some whistleblowers that came forward from Mesa, Colorado that Ron Watkins had been working with for a week or two before, who ended up flying into the symposium and sitting down, and they did kind of like a real-time forensic analysis of these voting machine drives that were imaged. And apparently this Mesa, Colorado elections clerk had been trying to help because she knew that something nefarious had gone on. And as they were getting to Mike Lindell's conference, her office was raided by the Secretary of State and the DA. And that got very dramatic. And there's an article up about that at Uncover DC. And then those people stayed and they shared their information. And the next day, it was kind of like a real-time forensic analysis of this hard drive. And 50 legislators from all 50 states were in attendance at this symposium. And they have formed a coalition to work together to get audits done in states across the union in an election integrity coalition, which I think is really something amazing. And that's what I basically have gathered from the symposium.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So then what was I saying on Wednesday night? I don't know how to make sense of the packet stuff one way or another. That's why I've went into things that people have written. I've asked friends. I've asked you for some clarification on one thing or another. So when it comes down to stuff like that, I just allow whatever to happen. And if I don't understand it, I really don't think that Mike Lindell would understand it too. It's obviously somebody's gonna have to frame it up for him. And I just wait back to see what somebody can summarize and confirm for me and take away all the conjecture and just give me the facts.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
So when it comes to that, I don't know what the hell. But here's what I would say. I tuned in several times over those 72 hours, and there was just a lot of I don't know. I believe that it could have all been done what Mike Lindell needed, even though, like you said, when you take away all of the fat, you trim away all the fat, you get down to what was accomplished. A lot of really amazing things were accomplished, especially with getting legislators together and to also to keep this issue at the forefront of people's minds. Because I really do believe what's happening it's not even a matter of what I believe. What needs to be done and continue to be done and all can be done are these individual local efforts.
Yeah.
And while that continues, it is important for people like Mike Lindell, American patriots, to keep this at the forefront of people's minds and keep it relevant. Now, with that being said, I think that there was a much better way for this 3-day symposium to have been done. What Mike Lindell needed was to cut the cost that was spent on 3 days of having this event and take 2 days off of the ledger and use all that money into hiring a really good team of a couple of producers.
Yeah.
And what it should have been done, so they should have gotten Mike Lindell to come out and say hello, maybe some closing statements, but they should have hired an MC. They should have hired an MC, and this should have been set up very tactically like a series of steadily crescendoing TED Talks.
Yeah.
The person who should have opened up the symposium, it should have been a 1-day event that could have been easily reproduced into a DVD, put out there, re-aired across digital networks all over the place. The first person who should have come out was Seth Keschel, and he should have laid down all of the historic and voting trends from the past 100 years that he was doing, all of the voting anomalies. It was unbelievable what Seth Keschel did on Wednesday night around 6:30.
He's amazing. He is.
Then after Seth Keschel, you have people like Dr. Shiva come out who also found mathematical anomalies, and he can start opening up the door into what was going on with media suppression. Mm-hmm. Because through the media suppression and through this bona fide link between government and social media, and it's a bipartisan link there too, this establishment link between social media and government, that is when you can start actually coming into the area of, or the arena of, how the mechanism of fraud was put into place, because obviously you need media. You need something there that not only puts out official stories, but suppresses dissent. And then from there, we can start getting a little bit more geeky, a little bit more technical. And you don't even need to go so crazy into packet capture stuff, because we have so much physical data. The Zapruder film, okay, the Zapruder film for JFK, when you know they didn't expect Abraham Zapruder to be sitting there on the grassy knoll with his 8mm camera filming what is absolute proof that he was not killed by one gunman from behind with one bullet.
Yeah.
The Zapruder film in 2020 is State Farm Arena, when they didn't know that they were being filmed,
right,
taking out all these ballots. So there's so many physical things that could be done. Whatchamacallit, the processing rate in Antrim County, how they said that the rate at which votes were being processed in these physical machines were it was impossible based on the capacity and the capabilities of these machines. So you start there, and maybe at the end you put the cherry on top with what you're trying to ascertain digitally. I think it could have been such a harder hitting thing, but it was diluted, in my opinion, over the course of 3 days, where there was unbelievable gems buried inside of a lot of gravel.
So the issue, I think, is that they weren't expecting the packet captures to fall like they did. I think that was something that happened the last minute, and they were stuck trying to fix and move around it. Just my opinion. I don't know for sure. But that's what it appeared as, though. Like, all of a sudden, the language started changing a little bit around the PCAPs, and then, you know, they changed it a little more. I think this entire thing was supposed to be focused on PCAPs. That's what I think. I mean, that's the way it was presented. And then that didn't work out. So they were
That was going to be right there anyway. Either way, that was going to be the piece of the symposium that was hardest for people to understand, that you're going to have to give everybody a crash course in this kind of stuff, which is why it should have been saved toward the end.
Yep.
And then if something did go wrong, then it's at least it's not like it was the entire crux of what you were trying to sell that day and really hammer home, because there is an unbelievable story that needs to be told from soup to nuts, from historical anomalies into media control, Time Magazine. You could have done somebody that took their entire presentation could have been about really digesting what Time Magazine put out there. Axios, the Red Wave theories, the Podesta groups, all this stuff. It would. So I appreciate what happened, and a lot of great did happen. I just wish that he had hired a couple of producers to bring this in and really, really polish it up.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that gets me is I'm reading around and stuff, and it's like, you know, people are so hypersensitive in certain ways that nobody can share. Even I don't like to share my opinion about this kind of stuff without having all of the data in front of me anyway, because I don't know the whole story. So opining about something when you don't know the whole story is kind of silly. You know, like, I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I have no freaking clue. I'm not going to add my perspective or 2 cents on what happened, what didn't happen. I don't know. So,
it's same thing here, because I don't know. And on a technical level, all that stuff really flies over my head. I've only ever had opinions on this based on the kind of method that I employ when I write a broadcast at night. How do you stack layers on top of layers and make a conversation flow and reach a really strongest conclusion to the broadcast that you can? And so from a stage production standpoint, that is the only thing I have any kind of constructive criticisms about, because obviously I appreciate the effort all around. It's great that people are out there that are willing to do this, that are willing to stake their reputation, their fortunes on this. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know. I'm just going to wait and give my opinion until after we get some more information. Like, I have a hard time even talking about the Mesa story because I don't know everything that's going on there. Like, people's houses are getting raided, and God knows, like, what appears to have happened is that she, the Secretary of State, for some reason left her password out And then when or somebody got their hands on it, and then Ron was supposed to remove it from the video that he did and didn't, and then they were accused of stealing the password, and then they were accused of stealing computers, and they're all saying they didn't, and I have no idea. The story was never told from start to finish. So that's where I'm at with it. And that's okay. I think overall, the panel where Wendy Rogers and Sonny Borelli and Mark Fincham were talking about Arizona was amazing. I think it gives courage to some of these other legislators who were there to do the right thing in the face of some really horrible attacks and criticism. There was a lot of good that came out of this, even with the somewhat negatives that are, you know, being talked about. So,
well, yes, yes, indeed.
What was that? Your chair?
No, that was just my phone.
Oh.
I had clicked something that was sent over to me by accident, and I was saving for later. You saw, I haven't seen any of the footage yet, and I got to watch it, but they had the Field of Dreams game last night in Iowa.
No, I didn't see that.
Yankees played the White Sox at the Field of Dreams, the actual field in the cornfield in Iowa.
Oh my gosh.
It was supposed to happen in 2020, and I was, you know, because it's a very small field, so I really just wanted to be able to get, I wanted to get tickets and be there. I would have driven to Iowa. It would have been a wonderful thing, but of course, everything got canceled.
So they did it last night. Who won?
The White Sox. The Yankees are not very good.
Oh. Well, it's about time. They're not very good. I'm tired of them winning all the time.
Winning all the time.
I stopped watching baseball when my life got consumed by news. So I don't really watch it anymore. And Will gets mad at me about that all the time.
It's not so much news because I loved baseball. I'm really, really, especially the Major League Baseball. It was very important to me up to and including 2019, 2018, especially 2017. It was amazing. The Yankees had a very genuinely good team made up of a lot of farmhands, and it felt very special again. And then they got back to their old stupid wheeling and dealings after that season ended. But once the politics
– yep.
Once political overtures were being made on the field in baseball, which had held out for a very long time, very long time.
Yeah, there was somewhere we could go.
Yeah, there was somewhere we can go, and I was happy that it had been preserved. And now it's being filled. Obviously, it's generational. It's odd now too because I'm in my mid to late 30s now, and it's weird to, it's almost weird to be, you know, so interested in 20 something year old guys.
Yeah.
And what
yeah,
they're doing.
Yeah.
They used to be my elders and then my peers. And now the generation that's coming up is just, they're largely a product of this culture that we're trying to turn around. There's a lot of bright spots, and there's a lot of kids that are coming up that have been raised right, that come from good parts of the country and all that stuff. But that's the only reason why this has happened. When Major League Baseball hired that diversity officer,
so
I said,
stupid.
I'll go.
That's
it's
it.
Over.
It's done.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Why even bother anymore? There's no
Oh,
point.
Yeah. And they were in Oakland. The Yankees were in Oakland a couple of weeks ago. I forget when the hell it was. Or I don't know where. Maybe it's Seattle. I don't know. Somebody hit a home run. Judge hit a home run or something, and he's rounding second base, so you have the camera angle from the third base coach's shoulder looking at him rounding the base coming to third, and I see off in the right center field wall a big Black Lives Matter sign. Oh, or something like end fight racism or end racism now, or oh, I said, oh my God.
Yeah,
what baseball stadium are you going to where you're being confronted by racism every day? You saw what happened in Colorado?
No, I didn't see Colorado. I did see Virginia, Loudoun. We have an article up about that. What happened in Colorado?
In Colorado, at the Colorado Rockies Stadium, there was audio caught on tape. A big, big stink was made for a couple of days by sports writers. And, you know, of course, I think somebody at the Colorado Rockies had to make a a statement about how there was a racial slur that was yelled at Lewis Brinson. He's an outfielder from the Miami Marlins. And so the Marlins were playing in Colorado. Now, the Colorado Rockies mascot is named Dinger, okay?
Yeah.
Dinger, D-I-N-G-E-R. Well, as Lewis Brinson is up at the plate, a fan somewhere behind home plate sees Dinger down the first base line, maybe a couple of sections over, and screams, "Hey, Dinger! Hey, Dinger!" trying to get the mascot's attention. And these race-obsessed ninnies who are constantly looking for
I can only imagine.
They thought that he was calling Lewis Brinson a N-word in broad daylight at a baseball game, as if this is actually a thing that happens. this does not happen anywhere unless it's in the inside of the mind, the warped mind of a liberal. And of course, after a while, they realized they were wrong, and all the apologies were half-assed. They had to say, "Well, I'm sorry, I heard it wrong, but it's only because I see these things every day."
Yeah, of course.
Horrible shit. So
did they dox the guy? Did he lose his job? No,
because they were trying to find out who it was. It was just audio. They were all appalled by. And then, of course, even Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, of course, threw his hat into the ring.
What did he say?
His disgust over how and then you see the comments. "This is why I don't go to baseball games anymore. It's not safe for African Americans."
Are you kidding me?
They're insane people.
You're kidding.
They don't live in the real world. We were brought up. I don't know. I don't even know if I have any baseball jerseys of white players. We grew up worshiping athletes of all colors.
It didn't matter. Cultural icons. It never mattered.
It never mattered.
Sammy Sosa.
And Sammy Sosa went from black to white.
Yep.
You know, so it's just, it never mattered. And people have been trained to remember their life in a way that it never happened.
Okay.
That's the saddest part.
Crazy. Just crazy. Well, I guess that's it for this Friday show, Will. Will, my husband's name. No, Frank, you're not Will. You're Frank.
I'm Frank today.
I guess that's it for the Friday show, Frank. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back here on Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petock, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.